Good morning, brothers and sisters. Great singing. I praise God. I thank God for your singing very greatly to our God, who is our Savior. Even God called us. God said many times, we need to worship. We need to bow down before Him. We need to thank Him many times in our lives. So turn to Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. We still are focusing on our practical life, or our responsibilities, as we focused last three sermons in Colossians. We know that Christ has risen us with Him, and He made us the new creation. We no longer have the nature of our old self, but we have a new self. That's what Paul is saying, chapter 3, verse 1 onwards. Then we need to kill the sins of our old self. He talks about chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. To kill those dangerous sins, we need to take antibiotics. That is putting on Christ-likeness, pursuing Christ-likeness. In chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, Paul says that we Christians should fulfill the key duties as new creation, as new man, as new woman in Christ. Many times I have seen, you have seen, while we are going on the road, on the car, right? On duty, government duty, right? People are doing many duties in their lives. Even most of the time, those who go to work, if someone calls, I am in duty, I am on duty. We hear many times, everybody has responsibility, everybody has duties in their lives. The most important thing is, we Christians, we have important duties, key duties as the new man, as new woman in Christ. That's what Paul is saying, verse 14 onwards, verse 14 to verse 17. Please follow along with me, chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. It says like this, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. If you look at verse 14, is connected to verse 11 to 13. It says like this, beyond all these things, that means He is going back. We need to go back. That means verse 12, it says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. Then He says, verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love. Then He talks about verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule. And verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Then verse 17, you see, whatever you do in word or speech, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are showing that we have great responsibilities. We have our duties, how employees has duties, how we have duties as secular people, how we work for our bosses. In the same way we have our duties. Many times, many people have different kind of responsibilities. Do you agree that? Everyone has same duty, but everyone has different duties in secular world. But here Paul is saying, every Christian, each and every one of us
should have these duties equally. It is not responsibility of a pastor. It is not responsibility of deacons, leaders in the church. It is a responsibility of every member in church. Every member should have these duties. They need to fulfill these duties. Here we have four key duties of the new man that we must fulfill. The first key duty of the new man that we must fulfill is clothe yourselves with Christ's love. Clothe yourselves with Christ's love. Look at verse 14. It says, beyond all these things, put on love. Put on means clothe yourself with love. He is using the figurative language. How you put on, how you clothe your clothes. In the same way, we need to clothe ourselves with love. Brothers and sisters, people are interested in nice and beautiful clothes. But Paul is interested wearing, clothing ourselves with love. Most of us, they care about wearing clothes, right? Is this bad? No. Even I care how I come to here, how I preach. When I'm preaching, how I wear my clothes, shirt and pants. Everyone cares about that. But Paul is saying better thing, important thing. You need to clothe yourself with love. People should see your love. People should see your love, not your beautiful clothes. They should see your love. That's what Paul is saying. Put on. Don't care about outward things. Care about spiritual things. Christ's love. Why you need to clothe yourself with Christ's love? Two reasons I can say in this passage. First reason, it is the key virtue. It is the key quality of Christ. Look at verse 14. The phrase, beyond all these things. It doesn't mean you stop those virtues. Those compassion, kindness, gentleness. You put on those things. Beyond all those things, love is important. You need to keep love on priority. Paul says that. And Paul is commanding that. Love is the most important virtue, which is the foundation of all those virtues and qualities. The idea in Greek is, upon those qualities, put on love. I can say in simple way that when my mother wants to cook egg curry, she will send to her shop. I go there, I buy onions and tomatoes. After putting onions and tomatoes, then I keep egg on that, right? So, because I need to protect, keeping on top, important things. So, in the same way, here you have compassion. You need to put compassion, kindness, qualities. Beyond those all things, you need to put on love, which is most important, which binds together everything, which is the foundation of all those qualities. The meaning of this word in Greek is the quality of warm regard for interest in another, esteem, having affection. It means regard. It is hard to love one another because of our sinful nature, right? Do you agree? It is very hard to love. It is very hard to show affection towards troubling saints, especially. It is very hard to show love towards unsubmissive women. It is very hard to love those who are rebellious against their parents, right? It is very hard. But we have to imitate on Christ's love. When we imitate God's love, when we imitate Christ's love, then we are able to love. We are able to show our affection towards other saints. Look at verse 12. Last time we have seen that. It says, you have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. You are beloved because He has chosen you. God has concern about you. God has interest in you. God has affection towards you. If you look at God, that was the motivation. That is the motivation to regard, to love others. You have to love or show affection toward your wife, children, and both sides parents. And all church members, because they have chosen by God, because they were loved by God, because God is loving them, you need to love them. You need to love them. You are not better than God. You are not most important person than God. You are nothing. God, great God, King of all kings, is loving everyone in this church. You need to follow in his steps. He is loving, so you need to love. You need to put on. That's why Paul prayed for this. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abide still more in real knowledge and all discernment. And he thanked God for this virtue. Colossians chapter 1 verse 4, it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have for all the saints. Verse 3, he said, we give thanks to God because you have love to one another. Paul is praising God, thanking God because they have love. Here he is commanding, put on love, don't give up. Before you are so loving, now you are not loving, put on. Please love, please show your love. It is a key virtue. The second reason why we need to put on, clothe ourselves with love, it produces unity. It produces unity. Look at verse 14, which is the perfect bond of unity. The meaning of the word bond is that which brings various entities into unfiled relationship. It binds relationship. It refers to the bondage, the unity. Brothers and sisters, love binds together the members of the church into unity in the body of Christ. The idea is that corporate life of believers are most important thing that happens because of love. We all united. We will be united because of love alone. If we don't have love, we cannot be united. That's why he is commanding. That's why he is imploring each and every one of us. The body of Christ is built up through love. Through love. Have you seen any time flowers? They take threads and they will tie it. One flower to one flower. It will stand like that. It is one set, right? Because of the thread. We all united. We will be united only because of love. If we don't have love, then we don't have unity. But we have key marks of biblical love. You can say that I am loving everybody. I know I love you. But you won't understand that I am loving you. You say right many times, I love you. You are saying with your spouse, you are saying with your children. But no, there are some marks, key marks of genuine love or biblical love. Romans chapter 13 verse 10 says, love does no wrong to neighbor. If you are doing wrong things to your neighbor, you don't have love. Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, let the love be without hypocrisy. You do flying kiss, right? I love you, I love you, I love you. But you are hypocrite. But same love you don't have in your heart. Just you are acting like Shah Rukh Khan. They are acting. That is his professional. But some Christians, we act like Shah Rukh Khan and Salman Khan. Just acting, just we show our love outwards, but you don't have same love in your heart. That's why Paul is saying, are there people like that? Yes. That's why Paul is saying, Romans 12, 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6 says, Paul talks about genuine love. There are some Christians who has no genuine love. Just artificial love they have. Are you loving like that? Artificially? One is in your heart, one is in your face. Just you show your smile, but you hate that person inside. But God knows, brothers and sisters, whether you have genuine love, whether you have unhypocritical love, God knows. God knows. God will reveal whether you have love or not. We need to obey this. We need to think about this. Am I loving genuinely? Am I loving without hypocrisy? We need to ask ourselves. The members of the church are not united because they don't have love towards each other. That is the main reason why there is no unity in the churches. Why we have different groups in many churches, that group, this group, because they are not loving each other. They don't have love, that's why they don't have unity. If you have love, there is a unity. If someone is saying, we are not united in the church, that means you don't have love. Because love, it says very clearly, which is the perfect bond of unity, unity. The second key duty of the new man that we must fulfill is allow Christ's peace to rule in your heart. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Look at verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The literal translation is, the peace of Christ should rule in your heart, should control your heart. You need to allow that peace to rule and to control your whole being in your heart. The peace is living in your heart. From your heart, it is controlling whole your being. The idea is, in Greek, the action should simply continue. You need to allow the peace of Christ to control you in your heart continually. Train yourself in this. This is your habit. This is inside peace. You cannot see outside. Whatever situation you are facing, brothers and sisters, your Christ peace should rule in your heart. This verse is not saying that Christ will give you peace. This verse is saying that you have peace already in your heart. You need to let that peace of Christ rule your heart. That means you need to be silent when different situations you are facing. When you face different kinds of people in your church, in your place, different kinds of situation in your personal lives and the church life. This is not a prayer, but exhortation. It is a command. You need to let the peace of Christ rule, control, whole being. Christ's peace holds control in their lives as they're related to one another. Why you need to control? Why you need to let the peace of Christ rule your heart? Because of you are related to your brethren. If you see chapter 5, all sins of old self. You have, right, angry people, the people who slander, people who abuse, people who speak against you, the people who have all kind of things, who hurts other people, right? That time you need to allow yourself, you need to calm down yourself. Let the peace of Christ richly rule in you. What kind of peace that Christ has given to us? If you think about that, John Gospel chapter 14 verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I will give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The peace that helps to be bold in times of trouble and fear. Whatever situation you are going through, you need to be fearful, but Christ has given you the peace that will give you the boldness, courage. You can live without fear even though you are walking through darkness, the bad situations. That what Paul is saying, that is Paul is saying to us. What kind of the peace that God has given to us? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. So through peace, he made one body. He made one body. So you have that kind of peace. You need to allow. You need to be calmed down in your heart when you face bad situation. The meaning of the verb rule is to judge, decide, control. It refers to the action of empire. Christ's peace should act as umpire in your heart. As I said before, in your heart, heart denotes the center of one personality as the source of will, emotions, thoughts, and affections. Everything you need to control yourself. You have peace of Christ, When you face difficult situation, when you face difficult people, you need to control your emotions. You need to control your thoughts. You need to do something. It is not action of God. It is action of a believer. You need to calm down yourself because of Christ. Peace, which is in you. Then we have two facts about the Christ peace. Look at which we have in us. The first fact, the reason. We should know the reason. The reason is called as one body to this peace. God has called you to this peace. God has purpose in his life. God has purpose in your life. That is, he called you as one body to this peace. This peace. Look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body. The idea is believers were called to live in peace in one body. Individuals who have peace with Christ in their own hearts will live in unity. That is the meaning. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, thus establishing peace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 16. Might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. So he removed enmity between, Christ has removed enmity between God and sinners, that is you and me. In the same way, we need to allow that peace rule among us, in our hearts especially. We who have been reconciled to God and who have peace with him through Christ should manifest that peace among themselves. For this cause, he called. For this reason, he called you as one body. But we think, right, many times, God has called as one body so that we can get benefits from each other. No, God has called, one of the purposes, so that we can have peace among ourselves. That's why, right, Matthew chapter 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. If you are sons of God, you will make peace. If you are not making peace with your brothers and other members in the church, that means you are not showing that you are a sons of God. Did you get that point? But blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. That is the reason. The another fact that we must know about the peace of Christ is the key way how we can allow Christ peace to rule in our hearts. The way is be thankful. If you are thankful, then you can allow the peace of Christ rule in your heart. The way to have peace in your hearts is to thank God. Thank God. Why you are facing difficult situations, why people are hating you? God allowed it, right? Mm. God allowed it. If God allowed it, you know that, right? So what is your response in that time? You need to thank God what he has done in your life. When you are thanking God, when you are being thankful to God, then you will forget all the things, the bad words, the bad actions which people has done against you. Because your focus is on God, what he has done in your life. Paul writes again and again that Colossians should thank God. When you are thanking God, you won't grumble. When you are thanking God, you won't care about the things people has done against you, right? Very practical. Bible is very practical. Very practical. Praise God for that. Even you can see that chapter 1 verse 3. He says about thank God. Chapter 1 verse 12, he says, you need to thank God. Chapter 2 verse 7, again he says, we need to thank God. Then chapter 3 verse 15, 16, 17. And chapter 4 verse 2 says, we need to thank God. When we are thanking God for what he has done in our life, great things, we will forget what people has done against us, right? So this is the way how we can allow Christ's peace to rule in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8 says, in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some people are waiting for God's will. They are searching for God's will. They are dreaming for God's will. But no, Bible is saying very clearly, the God's will is thanking Him. That is His will. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. Through Him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to His name. Brothers and sisters, what is your response when someone is troubling you and hating you? Don't harshly reply to them, but thank God for what He has done in your life. Then the bad actions, bad words of your hating brothers and sisters will become very small thing. When you're thanking God for what, for example, look at chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father. He is our Father. Even though these people are acting against me, but I know my Father. He is my Father. God is my Father. Then verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I give thanks, God the Father, because He qualified us. He gave us inheritance. He saved me. When you memorize, when you think about your salvation, these things will become less. Look at another verse, chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7, it says, having been firmly rooted, now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Think about God's blessing in your life. Think about salvation. Think about great things that God has done in your life. Then everything will become small things. So that is the tip I can give you. That is the tip the Holy Spirit is giving to you when you are facing the difficult situation with your neighbors, with especially the church members. We move on. Third key duty of the new man that we must fulfill is be filled with Christ's word to edify others. Be filled with Christ's word to edify others. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. To let the word of Christ richly dwell in you means is nothing but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16, after telling, Paul talks about all those duties, family life and job life and parenting life. So it is very, we can compare. If you see, if you look about Ephesians chapter 5, please turn with me. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he talks about speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Then he talks about verse 22, wives be subject. Then verse 25, husbands, the same, the duties which he has given. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are being filled with the word of God, is same. It is not different. If you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are being filled with the word of Christ, both are same. The results are very same. That's what Paul is saying here. We need to think about, even it is also command, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. The word of Christ refers to the word that is spoken by Christ. It has a great idea that Christ is the speaker when His word is proclaimed. Did you see that? When His word is proclaimed, Christ is speaking to us. The word of Christ is also means the words that are centered on Christ. The word of truth. But look at how he says richly. It is not like simply. It says richly. Richly dwell in you. Dwell means living in a house. That is the idea. The idea is word of Christ should live in the believer's heart or among them. Richly means abundantly. Richly. Abundantly describes the manner of God's word dwelling. It's not like one or two words. How many verses do you know? I don't know any verse. Okay, leave How many words do you know? Do you know about the truth about Christ, which were written in the Word of God? But I don't know, I don't have any idea. Because you are coming to the church many years, you are reading the Bible, but you are not focusing. You are not letting the Word of Christ richly dwell in your heart. But here Paul is commanding. Some people are neglecting the Word of God. They are focusing many things, but Paul is reminding, commanding, this is your habit. You need to train yourself. You need to memorize. You need to think about the Word of God in your heart. It says within you. Within you means it is plural. It is not talking about pastor. You, Pastor Vijay, you, Pastor Sammy Williams, you need to let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. He is not saying that. Pastor is saying to congregation, you congregation, let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. Everyone's responsibility, everyone's duty, this one. That's why everybody is following the false teachers. Anybody can come and say about Christ and bad things about Christ, just we are like sheep, no? Listening to them. Because you are not filling your heart with the Word of God. If you are filling the Word of Christ richly in your heart, then false teachers won't deceive you. Won't deceive you. So that is the context also, right? There are false teachers who are attacking Christ's supremacy, Christ's deity. When you are filling the Word of Christ in your heart, you can stand, you can protect yourself from false teachers. That is the reason why Paul is urging. That is the reason. One day may come, there were no the good preachers, gospel preachers. But when you are filling your heart with the Word of God, then you can stand that time. You can stand that time. Brothers and sisters, people seek to have furnitures in their houses abundantly, right? You don't want one chair in your house. You want like sofa set, right? The big one. You don't want one room. You want more than one room, right? You want abundantly in your life. People seek to have money abundantly, dwell in their bank accounts. Do you like in your account you have 50 rupees or 100 rupees? Yeah? Do you like? Rohit is smiling. No one like, right? You want more money in your bank account, right? I'm not saying that is bad, that is evil. But no, what I'm saying is, in the same way, how you are seeking, how you are expecting more things, more furniture in your house, how you are expecting more bank account money in your account, the same way, you need to let the Word of Christ richly dwell in your heart. How it is possible practically? Reading them, listening to them through preaching and teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays. Whenever you have opportunities, please come and listen to the Word of God. Memorize them. And meditate what you have heard. Some of you say that I am very bad in memorizing. Don't memorize exact words and everything. At least you memorize the idea of doctrine, right? You memorize facts that you know. The Word of Christ should dwell or live abundantly in your heart. This is a command. I like many songs in Cornerstone that we are singing. One of the songs that I love, Show Us Christ. I like those words. It says like this: Your word is living light upon the darkened eyes, guards us through temptation, makes the simple wise. Your word is food for famished one, freedom for the slave, riches for the needy. Soul, come to speak to us. Where else can we go? Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. If you understood that truth, the word of the Bible you have in your hand, those are the words of Christ, which has eternal life. If you understood, you need to pursue, you need to seek after it, you need to fill your heart with that. But here we have two things that we must know concerning the edification of others. Why we need to richly fill the word of Christ in our hearts? Because he says, the teaching, admonishing one another. There is a purpose to edify others. But two things. The first thing that we must know concerning the edification of others is the way of edifying others. Two ways that you edify others. The first way is by teaching. By teaching. Look at verse 16. Teaching and admonishing, right? The teaching, the meaning of the teaching is to provide instruction. Or to tell someone to do something. Then he says, admonishing. Which means, literally, put in mind. You need to put something in somebody's mind. Which also means to warn or to exhort. Why you need to fill the word of Christ richly in your heart? Because you need to edify others. You need to edify yourself. At the same time, you need to edify others. By teaching, by warning. Don't think this is the job of a preacher. But this is also job of all believers. Teaching, admonishing, warning one another. Colossians chapter 1 verse 28 says, Paul says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. So that is the job of a preacher. Romans chapter 15 verse 14 says, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish unruly. We need to admonish one another. We need to teach one another. But one question is this, brothers and sisters. Are you willing and humble to receive instruction and warnings from fellow brothers and sisters? Are you willing? So that is the question we need to ask ourselves. So Bible is saying that we need to instruct. We need to admonish. But are you willing to listen? Instructions and warnings from other brothers. You do those things. But you don't want to listen those things. But people are very interested in admonishing and warning and giving instructions, but someone is doing instruction, admonition, they don't want to listen. Are you that kind of a person? It is a job of everybody. Some people say, this is not my business. This is not my business. This is a business of a pastor. No, it is a business of everybody. We need to teach one another. We need to admonish one another. When someone is admonishing us, you need to listen. We need to listen. The second thing that we must know concerning the edification of others is the manner of edifying others. First, we have seen the way of edifying others. Second one, the manner of edifying others. Look at verse 16. With all wisdom. With all wisdom refers to the manner of teaching and admonishing. Wisdom refers to here skill in imparting Christian truth. Or we can say the capacity to understand, function accordingly. It refers to a skill to practice the truth. So you are practicing the truth. You have a skill. Through that, you need to teach. You need to admonish. That means you have a skill of how to lead your life. Through that, you are teaching, you are admonishing. It is not saying that even though you don't have that life, you admonish, you teach. You have that life, you have that skill. Based on that, you are helping your brothers and sisters. You are teaching, you are admonishing. The manner of edifying others. Where you can get the wisdom? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 to 3. Attaining to the all wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where you can get the wisdom? In Christ alone. Where you will get the skill to lead your life? From the Bible. So you have that skill. Through that skill, you are teaching, you are admonishing others. The third thing that we must know concerning the edification of others is the means of edifying others. the means of edifying others. Look at verse 16, part B. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Here we have two means of edifying others. First means of edifying others is by singing different songs. How pastor can edify others? While he is preaching, right? While he is teaching. How a believer can edify others? While he is teaching, while he is admonishing, as well as while he is singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what Paul is saying. Psalms were taken from, we have different songs right here. The first category of songs is psalms. Psalms were taken from the book of Psalms in Old Testament. Early churches sang psalms by putting music to them. So singing psalms in the Bible. Then we have hymns, were the words of praise to God. We can find Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. These passages are talking about hymns. They are hymns. Were originally hymns sung in the early church. Then he talks about spiritual songs. Emphasize testimony. They express in a song what God has done for us. And also it is different than secular songs. If it is spiritual songs, it is not a secular song. We know secular songs, right? Those things cannot edify anybody else. But spiritual songs, the songs which are concerned about according to the word of God, the songs that are talking about Christ will edify others. In the morning we were singing, "Arise my soul, arise. Behold the high priest, spotless." While you are singing those songs, those words, you are teaching, you are instructing one another. Then first song we sang, right? Rejoice, rejoice. Then you are telling, you are teaching you one another, other fellow brothers and sisters. Why you are so sad? Rejoice, rejoice. You are instructing one another, fellow brothers, through singing. But don't think that I am singing for myself. Whenever you are singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you are teaching, you are admonishing one another. We sing many songs, right, in Cornerstone. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. When I sing that those words, I am saying that because I live, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You brother, you sister, you can face tomorrow because he lives. We are not coming here to see the choir team just sitting and not singing anything. We are coming here. We are singing with purpose. We are encouraging others. We are warning others. We are helping others through our singings. Do you know Durga, right? A pastor in Nepali church. One day he went to beach with his guitar. He went there, he was singing. He doesn't know very well, but he is managing little bit. He is playing his guitar and singing little bit. All those foreigners has come there. They took their mobiles and taking pictures and taking videos. But he was little afraid. He doesn't know chords. He was learning that time. Just he is practicing. He is singing. People are taking videos and photos. Why I am sharing this story, not humiliate Durga. Some people are coming here to take photos, to take videos, to see how these brand people are singing. You are not coming to church to sing. You are coming to church to sing, not to observe, not to take photos, not to see how that person is singing. Even though you have bad voice, even though you have bad voice, you need to sing. Amen. Why? Because you have to instruct, you have to teach, you have to love other brothers by edifying them. So first means is by singing different songs. The second means of edifying is by singing with thankfulness to God. Look at verse 16b. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. While we are teaching one another, at the same way we need to thank God in our songs. We need to praise Him. They have to sing thankful to God with their whole being. It is just possible that thankfulness, because our proper response to God's grace. Man should not only praise with his lips. The entire man should fill with songs of praise. Look at the praise in your hearts. When Paul says to believers to sing in their hearts, it does not mean to sing with their voice. Here idea is heart should agree with the mouth. Entire being should thank him. But sometimes our lips are moving because people are observing our lips. Did you see? People are like that, right? See, if I am not singing, then Joshua will see me. So I will do those kind of things. Some people act like that, right? If you don't know the tune, you follow next line, right? Second time you can follow, but don't, your heart, your lips should match together. That's what Paul is saying. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Do you love music? Help your children to learn music so that they can sing, they can praise God in your home. In your home. But the goal of our singing is His glory, His pleasure. Amen. His glory and His pleasure. We move on. The fourth key duty of the new man that we must fulfill is do everything in Christ's name. So after telling those duties, finally the conclusion will be like this. Do everything in Christ's name. Verse 17. The Christian's whole life must be lived in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the word. He says, the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are obeying, you are doing things which were written in the scripture because you recognized Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. You are recognizing the Lordship of Christ. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved when you recognize Jesus is your master, your Lord. After they were saved, then they became under the authority of Christ. Everything they say, everything they do, ought to be in the light of fact that Jesus is their master. Jesus is their Lord. That is the thing Paul is saying. Worship in your everyday life. So he talks about we need to worship God in the church. Then he talks about in verse 17, you need to worship God through your actions, through your speech outside. Everyday life. Do everything. Speak everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever you do speak should bring glory to Christ. Look at similar words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The same way, you need to do everything for the glory of Christ. Whatever you do and speak should be cause to thank God. He talks about verse 17, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Every activity should be accompanied by thanksgiving to God through Christ. The thanksgiving means having a gratefulness towards God, having a feel of thanksgiving. Whatever good work you do, you have, that is because of God. If you are showing compassion, that is because of God, so you thank him. Obedience and thanking are connected to each other in a great way. For example, if you show compassion and kindness toward weak saints, you can thank God because God has given you that heart. You are thanking him because of showing, doing that action. If you are an immoral person and greedy, angry man and wrathful man, after those sinful actions, will you thank God? You cannot thank God because you are doing sins, right? Did you see? The obedience is connected to thanksgiving. You can thank God when you are eating food. If that food is come fairly because of your hard work, you can thank God. Thank you, Lord, for giving this food. But if you are eating food or things you have like car and buildings, everything, which you got through bribing or cheating others, will you thank God? Did you see obedience and thanksgiving is connected together? Connected together. Thank God. Whenever you does good things, good work, you can thank God. Here Paul says that thanksgiving has to be given to God through Christ, through Jesus. Verse 17, look at. Why should we thank God through Christ? Because he is the one whose names all things are to be said and done. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Jesus Christ is the mediator who had opened the way to God's presence. We have sung, right? He is the way. He is the way to God. We can approach to God through Christ. Even God approached us through his Son, right? We should ask God anything in the name of the Lord. In the same way, we should thank God through Jesus Christ. One man of God said like this, the centrality of Christ does not diminish the Father, but brings him glory. We exalt Christ, we highlight Christ, but ultimately glory goes to God the Father. So we have our duties, right? Four duties, key duties that we have discussed. Clothe yourself with the love of Christ. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Be filled with the word of Christ to edify others. Do everything in the name of Christ. These are the key duties of new man in Christ. Most of us are neglecting these duties, right? Are you reading Bible? Are you doing everything for the sake of Christ? These all are mandatory duties, each and every one of us. You know cricket team? If you watch cricket team, they are playing for the country. When they are playing for the country, if one batsman is playing, if he got century like 100 scores, somebody is sitting at back outside of the ground, what he will do? He will clap, right? If he is tired, one person will take cool drinks or drinks and run to that person, give to that person. What you can see in cricket team? Love, right? They have one another. Then if you see, even though they have different players, some misunderstandings will come. Even though misunderstandings will come, captain will solve that problem. Finally, they will go together. They make peace with one another to play cricket, right? To win that match. Did you see? They make peace among themselves when they are playing. If you think about, they always teach themselves. Aray, you are not playing well. You need to play in this way. Someone is teaching someone else, right? They are learning things, how to play cricket. And finally, they do everything. Bowling, batting, hard work and exercise. Everything they are doing for the glory of their country. Glory of their country. Did you see? They are fulfilling their duties. We are also players. We need to fulfill our duties. We should have love among us. We should make peace with one another. At the same time, we need to teach one another, learn the word of God. Finally, we do everything for the glory of Christ. Amen. To give thanks to him. If unbelieving team, they are fulfilling their duties, what about us? We need to fulfill our duties for the glory of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins. But you are helping us to become like your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to have love for one another. Lord, when we face difficult situations, Lord, help us, Lord, to allow our, the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, Lord. Make us be calm in storm, Lord. And also help us, Lord, to meditate your word. And help us, Lord, to do everything for your glory. Build this church, Lord. Help each and every one of us to do things to obey our Master, Jesus Christ, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.